Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news, bit of transfer news, but look, this ain't going away. Very, very happy to pronounce that Manchester United fans have took action this morning. And look, this is significant because Manchester United fans, not many of them, but it doesn't take many, as we know through history. You don't need thousands of people to make an impact. A select few Manchester United fans this morning have infiltrated Manchester United carrying... I mean, sounds like an episode of Star Wars, doesn't it? The rebellion begins. They've infiltrated Manchester United's training complex at Carrington. They've blocked the entrance. They've been on the pitch. They've put up banners saying, "We decide when you play, 50 plus one in relation to the ownership." I mean, it gives me goosebumps because of ultimately... it's not about individualism. It's about a collective United fan base doing something impactive to remove these owners from our pitch, from our club. And look, I know people are talking about 3 o'clock on Saturday, but it's not organised, and they'll expect it. Spurs did it last night. It was a bloody embarrassment. As I said, it looked like a Busted reunion. Someone had a bloody guitar. They will expect unorganised, short-lived frustration. And if you want to do that, that's fine, because we are a democracy. That's what United fans and football fans should be, and people can do whatever they want. But I'm telling you now, a few United fans blocking training, being on the training pitch with those banners, will hit far more eyes and make far more impact than a protest outside a ground when the Glazers live in America and Woodward's in London. It will, because everybody does a protest. Doing things different will bring about change. So I applaud what they've done today, because it's outside of the box. It's clever. The actual line I can give you is this. It's official. This is from Manchester United. At approximately 9 o'clock this morning, a group have gained access to the club training ground. The manager and others spoke to them. Buildings were secure and the group has now left the site. In addition, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Michael Carrick, Darren Fletcher and Nemanja Matic spoke to the fans. I feel happy about that, because what more do you want? I don't know what Solskjaer said. You can pretty much guarantee it was something. It wasn't "get out of our ground, we're pro Glazers." You know, the players have been betrayed. The manager has been betrayed. And it's absolutely essential that you see this sort of action taking place, because we've got to think outside the box. We can't go off the people that look. What I appreciate that a lot of people who watch this channel may have never been to Manchester, may have never been to Old Trafford, maybe season ticket holders, maybe in their 80s, who knows. Hopefully we've got a really diverse background of people watching this channel, but don't for one minute think that you need to rush out and stand outside Old Trafford with a blanket saying, "Get Glazers out." Don't think for one minute that getting Glazers out trending on Twitter is going to make any change, because we've been doing that and seeing that for 10 years on Twitter, and they're still here. And don't for one minute think that you've got to run out and do something right here, right now, because it's not going to, Perez, there's a video, link in the video description. I've done it on That's Full Football, reacting to what Perez said last night. Only 10 minutes, well worth giving it a watch in relation to what he said. But effectively, he's saying Super League, not dead. Not dead. Not over. This war, and it is a war to save football, is only just begun. It's not over. We can't win it in 3 days' time. We didn't win it on Tuesday night. We're not going to win it today. We're not going to win it on Saturday. We're not going to win it the week after. This is going to take a long time to do. And we've got to be clever about what we do. And if you think for one minute that people like those fans who've done that at Carrington today, people who've been going to watch that club for years and years and years, the home and away support who go every single game, the people who pay into things like Manchester United Supporters Trust, you know, the Red Army, not saying that people pay into that, but you know, there's loads of organisations and there's loads of fans that maybe they don't have great relationships with each other, but they bloody love that football club. They're not going to sit back and go, "Yeah, we don't really like the protest idea on Saturday because it's not organised, it's not legal and it won't be impactive." And then people start going, "Oh, you should be doing something." They're going to have things planned, and what they've done this morning, whoever's organised that, and I don't know who's organised it, whoever's done that this morning has done something that no other club has done. And one thing about Manchester United, and in fairness, I hate to say it, Liverpool fans, the history of these football clubs and the fans of these football clubs, they're anything but uncreative. They will be creative, they do care, and they will do things. So put your trust in that and support what people do. Don't start being divisive saying, oh, they're not going to be there on Saturday at 3 p.m. because they've probably got plans to do things like they've done this morning. They've probably got plans to do things differently, and they're probably speaking to people to make sure things that change this time. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's like being at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Don't just go and eat the chips and get yourself full up. Take your time. Have a look what's there. Because that's how we will win this. There are lots of options. There's never been an opportunity like this for Manchester United fans. And we must grasp the opportunity whilst not being impatient. We can't be impatient. And whilst not starting arguing amongst each other. Whatever you think about whoever you think, the reality is this opportunity, surely this opportunity to bring about genuine change at our football club and get these people out of our football club, that has to supersede any personal feelings you've got towards any United fan. It has to supersede it, because if we do get this right, and when I say we, I'm not saying that, you know, we're all going to be the drivers of this success, but we will all be the beneficiaries of this success. Because I don't care who owns Manchester United, as long as they love Manchester United. I don't care who brings about change, as long as they love Manchester United. And that's where we all need to be united on this. So, look, really, really, really positive news this morning that things are being done and that things are being done differently. And look, who knows what that conversation was? They were blocking Carrington. They're not blocking it anymore. They've gone off. They've spoken to Solskjaer. They've spoken to Carrick. They've spoken to Fletcher. And they've gone. So, you know, message done. And it will hit the papers. It will hit the media. And it will hit the Glazers. And they will worry. They will worry. They didn't like what happened last year in relation to what was being sung in January in the ground. They didn't like that. And they won't like that. And at some point, it will get to the point where they're like, right, this ain't worth it anymore. And they might already be there anyway. But they'll definitely get there if things continue. And it can't just, and look, 100%, it can't just be one thing. Everybody needs together. Because what if they, you know, if those however many people did that today, and they hunt them down and they say it's illegal what they've done, we want them banned, we want them, you know, charged, this, that and the other, then maybe those few people, you know, stop. But if everybody's going to start doing things, they can't stop a movement this big. And that's what we need to happen. What can fans who are outside of England do to support the movement? That you will, look, mate, the one thing I will say is, look, if people want to turn up to Old Trafford at 3 o'clock on Saturday, you know about it. We will let people know about things that are going on. That, I think, is the responsibility. And there will be opportunities for everybody to get involved in things, because ultimately, a lot of our fan base are not in England. I get that. And ultimately, let's not forget that they were the people that they were valuing you in the Super League. The legacy fans, the local fans, the people who go to the games, not so much so. So every Manchester United fan's important in this. Every Manchester United fan needs to be together on this. Would you take the Saudis over the Glazers? No. I'm going to leave my opinion on this. I don't want the Saudis to buy Manchester United. No, I don't. I know that Manchester United Football Club is a very rich, sustainable club. If it's in the right hands, we don't need a billionaire. We don't. The money we make and the money we will make in the right hands, where the money goes into the club instead of out of it, and we get rid of this debt, I'm more than happy for Manchester United to be owned by the 50 plus one thing, where fans can get hold of the club. And yeah, you get private investors, of course you do, but I don't really want to see another owner. Because what if we do get a fantastic owner who, you know, gets us 10 Premier League titles in 20 years and then goes, you know what, I've had enough now, I'm going to sell it. And then you end up back with another Glazer. We've got to get, you know, this is not for us. It is for us, but it's for, It's like that song from the Manic Street Preachers. If you tolerate this, then your children will be next. And if we tolerate this, then the Manchester United of our children will be this as well. Why should we inflict this on them? We've got to build a brighter future for everybody. These ideas centre around protecting big clubs from the financial loss of poor playing performances by severing the relationship between football success and financial reward. This will be the downfall of our great clubs, says Jimmy Garner. And I have a feeling Ollie told the fans at Corrington that good people are running this club and that they have invested loads of money. And I don't think they would have walked away, Andre, if they had said that, to be fair. We need to do the same at Arsenal. Africa's richest man is buying us and buying... Yeah, see, but Zane, you want something that we don't want at United. You just want another billionaire to come and take over your club. We don't want that. So, you know, that's not what we want. I mean, look, I saw somebody saying there, you know, I don't agree with people who are blocking the players from training. It's not their fault. It's not about blocking the players from training. And I think the players will totally and utterly agree with what's going on privately, because they will know why the fans are doing it, because they're pissed off with the owners. If you don't think, look, the fans, we're in a really weird situation here. I've got lots of news to bring you anyway in relation to other stuff, but we had to delay just to make sure that we got this all right. For the first time in a long time in football, money doesn't actually matter, because the Glazers are richer than all of us, and they're in the minority here. Footballers are richer than all of us, and they're powerless. The people with the power are the fans. The players are actually bounded by contracts to a club that they love, but the owners they can't trust. We, as fans of the club we love, we are their voice, effectively. The players can say we don't like the Super League, and they can put pictures out like Rashford did, and, you know, subliminal quotes and everything like that. But fans can just say, get out. Get the Glazers out. So I don't think the players will have any problems with those fans this morning at all. Oh, what? Training was delayed. Well, I don't think it was delayed anyway, because I don't think the players come in for training till about 10 o'clock. So it was over before then, but it's hit the papers. Very, very impactful what they've done. Whether you agree with it or not, if you want change at your football club, then it's very impactful. And I tell you what, we're going to see. And look, in a funny way, this is interesting as well. I said it on the night. The competition is who can get rid of their owners quicker, us, Liverpool or Arsenal. And we think we're battling on the pitch, and we are all battling for the same thing. But there's a victory to be had. If we can get our owners out before Liverpool and Arsenal, then, you know, we've done it first. And I tell you what, Liverpool fans will be thinking about, I don't know about Arsenal. I don't really know much about the culture of Arsenal Football Club. I don't really know the culture of their fans. I don't understand fully the culture of Manchester United Football Club. And I don't think, I wouldn't pretend to do that. But I do know a lot about it. And I do know a lot about, there's a lot of similarities, as much as we don't want to say it, with Liverpool. The passion for the club, the history for the club, what it means to the fans, what it means to the city of Liverpool and Manchester as well, because that's very important in this as well. We have become global football clubs, and the global fan base is massively important. And I don't agree with one fan's better than the other, and we all need to be together on this. But there is massive cultural things around Manchester United Football Club that the Glazers won't have a bloody clue about. And they're about to find out, because finally, they've made the biggest mistake they've ever made. And they're about to find out. And look, as I said with the European Super League, maybe they will win. Maybe they will win out of this. You know, there's no guarantees, but we've never had an opportunity as big as this to bring about the change. And it could be, if you think about it, I hope that in however long, whether it's weeks, months, years, I hope we look back at that European Super League idea and go, that could have been the end of football, but it actually ended up being the end of them. And sometimes you've got to fight a battle where the stakes are that high. They started it. If we respond to it, if they'd won that Super League, football was over, wasn't it? If they lose that and they're still trying to do it, I still think they're trying to do it behind closed doors, which is why we've got to keep the fight going. If we win this, get the club back, bloody hell. Thank you for that. The wise thing to do is to process out Parliament, hit the problem at its core. The issue isn't with specific owners, it's with the structure of football as a whole, says Chris. Those conversations with government are going on. We don't need to protest outside government at the moment because they're already listening to us. So I think you make a good point there. We don't need to protest outside government because they're already listening. When they stop listening, then you can start doing stuff like that. What about a sit-down process stopping coaches to the match, ideally a week on Sunday? Mark, I wouldn't worry about this. The ideas are good. But I guarantee you, and I know for a fact, that lots of things are in the pipeline at the moment. A lot of people are saying, why are you against the protest on Saturday? I'm not against people expressing their opinion, because that's freedom of what people want to do. But if you're asking me, do I think it's a good idea? No, I don't. Because it's not organised, it's not legal, which is not necessarily the issue here, but, you know, that is an issue, because we are in a pandemic, and I think it's irresponsible for hundreds or thousands of people to be stood swarming together when people have died because of this pandemic. So that, I think that's a big issue. So it's not legal. I also think it's been done before. I also think it could, if you're going to do something like that, you could do it way better than that that's going to happen. But if you want to do it, do it. I'm not saying don't do it, but don't tell me I'm wrong because I think it's not a good idea. I think it's impatient. I think it could be planned a lot better if people were patient. And I think also the people who are doing it are just running off like, oh, look at me, I'm doing this. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not about individuals, is it? I'm sure I could sit here like a Billy Bighead and go, oh, I've got a great idea that might get me on the telly. I'm not interested in that. All I've said to people is the United Stand will support and get behind anything that is going to bring about change for this football club. It's not about being at the forefront about anything. I don't want to be on the TV. I don't think Flex wants to be on the TV. That's not what it's about. It's about supporting privately. And you don't know what we might be supporting without saying anything. There could be all sorts of stuff. And look, nothing's off the table. And I think that's what the government have said. That's what most fans of groups are saying. Nothing's off the table at the moment. And to bring about proper change, then we've all got to try and work together. But personally, my feeling about the protest on Saturday is that it's too rushed, it's not organised, and it doesn't, crucially, have the right people involved in it. And by that, I think we all know that, you know, the right people involved is everybody. And also, what I would say is, as well, this is very important before we move on to other news, is that last night and this morning, I've seen and been made aware of people taking a pop at the United Stand because we're organising the protest on Saturday. It's got nothing to do with it. It's not organised by us. People have been made aware of it, but it's nothing to do with us. And already the negativity starts. We don't want a Forest fan involved. He's not a proper fan. And I'm like, whoa. You see, you're letting the Glazers win straight away here. You're letting your personal opinions about things that are not true cloud the issue that we've never had a chance as big as this to make change at Manchester United. And that needs to be the thing. And I actually don't agree with people doing the protest on Saturday, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to tell people about it. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to say make your own choice. I personally think things like this morning are the way forward. I'm not saying what they've done is right, but I'm certainly not saying what they've done is wrong. And what I'm saying is the message is clear. And, you know, they've got to speak to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer about it as well. So, look, of course it's right. Of course it is. Mark, United is worth at least £2 billion, so how can a non-billionaire buy you? Says Amy Assey. Reform. Welcome to Members Club, Jared Kelly. Thank you for that. United Comp says our fan base is the most divided and arrogant of them all. Look, we've always been a divided fan base. I think everybody needs to own up to that. But if you're going to have this opportunity, you've got to learn from your past mistakes. The reason we didn't get the Glazers out in the start is because of past mistakes. Learn from those mistakes. Manchester United players usually arrive around 10 a.m. for training at Currington, so almost all of them weren't present for when the fans were protesting earlier today. Exactly, I knew that. I know we start at 10 o'clock, so that's why I said it. So that's just coming out now. Solskjaer, Carrick and Matic spoke to the protesters at Carrington. The move was appreciated by the fans. Some players were blocked from gaining access to the lane into Carrington. Look, it's over now, but But it must have been love. But it's over now. Right. Protest at Carrington. If you're waking up to this or you're new to the show, protest at Carrington. A very select few of, I would say, legends have been at Carrington today. They've blocked it. They've been on the pitch. They've said, you know what? I don't actually, I don't actually condone the fact that they've, you know, nobody, illegal things, obviously, we don't want to see. You know, we all know what happened at Woodward's house. I've seen some horrible, you know, I've got to say, I've seen some horrible stuff on social media today as well. People, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I've seen pictures of people like contacting the business of one of the Glazers' daughters or something like that. We can't be that. We can't be that. We can't be that. We can't be that. That's not right. You can't do that. You know, we've got to be better. You can't start harassing, harming people in this. Like that, we're better than that. We don't need to be that. We can't be the villains is what I'm trying to say. Like, think about Star Wars, you know, the rebellion led by Luke and Leia and Han, right? We've got to be the rebellion. We can't be the Empire. We can't be looked at as doing things that are horrible. We've got to be doing things that are right. That's what we've got to do. And I know people are angry and I know people are impatient, but let's do it right. Let's do it right. Like those fans today, all right, they've trespassed on a pitch. They've not damaged the pitch. They've not smashed up windows. They've trespassed on a pitch and they've got a banner up. The reason they've done that is because we're on Manchester United's pitch and we decide when you play and we want our club back. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, people might disagree with that, but actually, I don't disagree with that because it's a protest. And actually, that's our training pitch anyway. It's trespassing. The poetry of it is perfect. People will say, "Oh, that's wrong. You're blocking the players. You're going on the pitch and trespassing." Who are we trespassing to? It's Manchester United's training ground and it's Manchester United players. Therefore, it's our training ground and it's our players. That's the whole message. Manchester United is the fans' club. Those players play for the fans. That pitch they're training on is the fans. The problem is it's not. It's owned by these people that are not Manchester United fans. They're money people. So I don't even class it as trespassing. I think if you start smashing things up, you start harassing individual people, you are committing crimes. You are in the wrong. But I don't think trespassing on a Manchester United training pitch to hold a banner, I don't see that as a crime because that's our football club. And if the Glazers or the police or anybody wants to try and charge those people, then, you know, you've completely missed the message and you're completely getting it wrong. But look, it's inspiring. It is inspiring. I said this last night. Of course, it's going to go quiet a little bit because of the Super League. But don't ever think that it's going quiet in relation to the movement to remove these people from our football club and get it back. It won't go quiet. There's a lot of things going on. But unfortunately, if somebody does something wrong to you and they get arrested, you know, they're not in prison straight away. They've got there's court cases, there's evidence building. It takes a long time, but things are going to happen. Nobody can guarantee what the outcome will be. We've just got to make sure we do absolutely everything we can and support each other. Glazers should be scared. They can be happy than United. People are pacifists compared to the Schalke people hunting and slapping their players, says DK. The point is to get to the point where they realise that it's not worth their time anymore. They've made a lot of money out of this club. I mean, a lot of money. And they'll make a lot of money out of selling this club because the debt, what happens to their debt when they sell it? You know, they'll leave the club in debt. I think that's one of the things people don't realise. And I want to move on to other things, but they bought this club on debt. Very little of their money went into it. I still am baffled how that deal ever could done. When Manchester United was sold, we were a viable business with big, big income streams and very little debt. They bought us and were allowed to put us into debt to buy us. I mean, the mind boggles how that was allowed. But when they sell us, They won't clear the debt, will they? I don't know. So if we're in £450 million worth of debt and they sell us, I presume they're not going to pay the debt off before they do it. I mean, I would hope that happens, but they're still going to make, I don't know how much, a couple of billion profits, even if they pay the debt off, 3 billion, even if they pay the debt off. I mean, it ain't bad, is it? This is what I mean. They don't support Manchester United. They don't like football. You've made 3 billion profit in 15 years. What are you waiting around for? Just so you can be more greedy? I mean, there's just another evidence of greed as well. They don't like football. They don't like Manchester United. They bought us to make money. You've made, 1, 2, 3 billion in 15 years. Why do you want to keep us now? To make a little bit more money? Just F off. Just you've already won. Go. Let us try and rebuild this football club. I worry that Ollie will refrain from speaking the truth and might defend the Glazers in his next conference. Something like everyone deserves a second chance. I really hope I'm wrong. The Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer press conference tomorrow will be very interesting, Macca, because he will now. And I also, I don't know whether it's been timed to perfection or not, but Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer will have been asked questions about the Super League and he will be prepped. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer will now be asked questions about the fans at Carrington. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will either be clipped in the way that he's not allowed to speak and will know about that, or he will say, look, the fans feel very passionately about the game and the club that they love. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer 100% is behind what fans feel about what's going on. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer 100% has been betrayed like you have. 3 years, Perez said they were working on this. 3 years, not 3 days. 3 years. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer found out about it on Sunday night. 3 years our club's been working on this. The deception and betrayal runs deep, and it's not just against the fans. Mark, this protesting is going to be worse than what happened with the Glazer takeover, says Drew Hansen. I worry that, well, Ollie, I've done that one from Macca, and even if they buy Haaland, Sancho, Declan Rice and Varane now, no one will forget that they tried to snake the world out of 1,000 combined years of football. Jacob, I tweeted something very similar this morning, and I hope many people do agree with this. I basically said, if they buy Varane, Declan Rice, Sancho and Haaland this summer and they keep Paul Pogba, that might be enough to convince some of our fans. You know what? It won't convince me. Great. You know, I'm more than happy to take your gifts. You know, I'm more than happy to take your gifts, but you're still, in my book, get out. I don't, you know, these are only the signing. If they gave us a summer like that, like Chelsea had last year, I'd be very happy for those players and they'd come to United and we'd be a better team for it. But in 2 years' time, they'd be trying to get that money back. And also, it doesn't right the wrong that you've done. For me, it would just be, that better be a parting gift, now piss off. Because it doesn't change the fact. They can't be trusted. They're bad owners. They don't like football. They don't like Manchester United. And the only reason they would spend big this summer is to try and kid us. Well, look, I'd happily take the... My granddad always used to say to me, if someone offers you something and you want it, Don't on principle, don't take it. Take it, but still have your principle. So I would take the players and go, yeah, I still don't want you here. Get out. It's not worked. At the end of the day, we can only win from that situation. If they give us all the players, great. Still go. I've not changed my mind. So, you know, do it if they want. Check Red Issue on Twitter. Apparently, Ollie said that Joel loves the club and was challenged on why he doesn't speak against the Glazers like in 2005, says Mark. Well, I will check that out. Thank you very much. I will have a look at that. Let's have a quick look. I mean, look, I don't know about that. Okay, here we go. So, Red Issue have given an update. It's hard because they tend to just reply to stuff. They don't actually just put a tweet out, but there you go. The protesters asked why... Here we go. So, Carrington's facilities manager went back inside to petition Solskjaer. So, here we go. Okay. The fans were at the ground. Carrington's facilities manager came out to speak to the protesters despite brandishing a Scouse accent. He was told the group wanted to speak to Solskjaer. The Scouser said that he wouldn't be... This is just brilliant. I mean, look, whatever you think about the Red Issue, and I've been victim of the Red Issue, and they have said things that aren't true about me. At the end of the day, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not bothered about those things because we've never had such an opportunity to, as Manchester United fans, to bring about change. And I will put aside any of those things to bring about change at Manchester United because that's the goal. If we start falling into previous arguments about you're not this, you're not that, we'll be divided. And that's what the Glazers want. We've always failed because we've been divided. We must be united. So the Red Issue was saying, Carrington's facility manager came out to speak to him. He's a Scouser. He was told the group wanted to speak to Solskjaer. The Scouser said that he wouldn't come out because the group was intimidating. They said they'd still stay until he did. The fans says, this is like a comedy. I could write a comedy of this. So the Scouser is the facilities manager. All right, lads, what's going on? Fuck off, Scouser, and get Ollie. Ollie comes out. I'm not coming out. I can't come out because you're intimidating. Karaki, come with me. I'm making a comedy out of it. I always do this. If you know me, I'll always make a laugh out of something because, I'm weird like that. So the facilities managers went back inside to petition Solskjaer, who eventually did come out alongside his coaching. Karaki, come on. Solskjaer was asked where his voice has disappeared to, having previously become a patron of Must in 2005, supporting the campaign against the Glazers. The protesters asked why he could take a stand then as a player, but now in his far more powerful position as a manager. He replied that Joel loves the club. A police car and riot van turned up to keep their distance as the protesters and Solskjaer exchanged views. My thoughts on that? My thoughts on that are a disappointment because... It's a difficult one. I'm on the spot here, which I don't mind being on the spot. And who am I? My opinion's only the same as yours, and you will have yours. And it's as Asher says there. If that's true, then it's very, very disappointing. And it's very disappointing because those fans, I'm going to be stereotypical here, but those fans would represent fans that are hardcore Man United fans. They're definitely hardcore Man United fans to do what they've done. And hardcore Man United fans, in my opinion, and in my experience, are fans that will absolutely be 100% behind the players and Solskjaer because they love them. They'll be realistic about the performances and things like that. So for them to put a quote out that Ollie said Joel loves the club, that's really disappointing from Solskjaer. And they've asked the right question. If that's true, how come you were against the Glazers in 2005 as a player, but now as a manager in a far more powerful position, you're not? And if he's come out and said Joel Glazer loves the club, look, it's a big if, but if Solskjaer has said that, he's put himself into a really bad situation there because that's siding with... Look, Joel Glazer does not love this club. Joel Glazer does not love this club. He doesn't. He's only here because his dad bought it. Did he grow up as a Manchester United fan? Did he have pictures of George Best when he was growing up? I mean, how old is he? You know, he'd probably be old enough to... How old's Joel Glazer? I mean, he'd be old enough to remember the 70s, surely. He'd be old enough to remember the 80s, definitely. Does he know who Brian Robson is? Does he? Fuck. He doesn't... He's not a Manchester United fan. So for Ollie to say he loves Manchester United to fans that will know everything about Man United... It's a kick in the teeth. It's not the right answer. So if he has said that, and I don't know that he has, because it's only coming from a third party, but why it also doesn't make sense why those type of fans and that type of outlet would want to throw Ollie under the bus. They wouldn't want that. And if they've said that, it's probably because they're as disappointed as you are if that's true. So there's a lot of if, buts and maybes, but you cannot say to Manchester United fans, Joel Glazer loves this club. Because he probably does love the club because he loves how much money it makes for him. That's the truth. He doesn't love this club because he grew up following George Best or the Busby Babes for the older generation or Brian Robson in the 80s, Paul McGrath, Norman Whiteside, going to the 90s, Sir Alex Ferguson's here, the class of 92, Cantona, Steve Bruce, Ronaldo, Rooney, Van Persie, Bruno, De Gea, Pogba, all these players. They don't love Manchester United for that. Joel Glazer loves Manchester United because it makes him money. And Solskjaer knows this. So for Solskjaer to say that, massively misguided, maybe caught on the spot, he would be very nervous. Obviously, he was intimidated. The same article says he's intimidated. So he's probably, Joel loves the club. But you can't say to, Ollie needs to figure this one out quick. You cannot say to Manchester United fans, look, the damage is done, Ollie. You cannot turn Manchester United fans round. You cannot sit a United fan down and go, look, we all need to calm down. Joel loves the club. We're all going to sort this out. No. If you're not with us, you're against us. Those days are gone, Ollie. Those days are gone. You cannot turn United fans round now. We're never going to accept the Glazers. So you're either with us or against us. I appreciate you're in a very difficult position, but don't say Joel loves the club because he is the enemy of the club. And if he's your employer, well, you know what? He stabbed you in the back. And that's the worrying thing is as well, isn't it? For Solskjaer to be defending the Glazers, how much do you really know about the Super League, Ollie? Because if I was you, I'd be bloody fuming with the Glazers because they've lied to you for 3 years and stabbed you in the back. You know, this is the problem now. The players and the manager, they can still play their games and get our support, but don't get involved in what's going on. Because if you're perceived as on their side, it won't end well, will it? Robert Bard, welcome to the Members Club. Puppets until the end, says Andre. Who feels that Ed Snake would roll now, Mark, realistically? Oh, Drew, it'll be somebody from the inside. It'll be an inside job. We'll definitely get somebody coming in from the inside. They're not going... If the fans were in charge, then we would probably want somebody to... we would probably want somebody like Edwin van der Sar. Now, look, Jim White apparently on Sky has said that referring to the people at Carrington today as so-called United fans. I mean, Gary Lineker's mates with Ed Woodward. I don't know what's going on with TalkSport. Jim White would be on TalkSport, actually, to be fair, not Sky. But so-called Man United fans. So-called Man United fans. You're having a fucking laugh. So-called Man United fans. Yeah. As I said, they are Manchester United fans going onto our training ground and stopping our players getting into the ground, into the training ground that we own. The reason we don't own it is the problem. That's our football club. That's our training ground. And the message is quite clear. The trouble is with Jim White and anybody criticising it is they're so thick, they're not actually thinking what the message is. There's always a message. Like, if you go and stand outside Old Trafford on Saturday, there is a message, I'm not happy. All right, okay, this has been done before, but whatever. When people go and stand on Man United's Carrington training ground with the sign, we decide when we play 50 plus one, they're not just standing on the Carrington training ground. There's a message. It's the banner. The banner, we want our club back, and it's our club. And also, it's where they're bloody stood. They're stood on the Manchester United first team training Carrington pitch because they don't see themselves as trespassing because it's our club and it's our ground. And that's the message. You might own this, but really it's ours. And that's the message. So so-called United fans, oh, they've trespassed at the gym. Maybe the message is that we're not trespassing because it's our fucking club. But they can't think like that because it's beyond them. They can't think that quick. You've got to think about what the actual message is. It's not trespassing. It's about sending the message that this is our club. And you might think it's your club, the Glazers, and you might think you own Carrington, and you might think your security barrier and everything is owned by you, but it isn't. And if it's true that the facilities manager is a Scouser, then it just shows you everything that's wrong with this football club. I heard another person, was it Batty or someone like that might be our next chief executive, who is a Newcastle fan. I heard that Richard Arnold, who could be the chief executive, is a rugby league fan, not a football fan. I mean, this is the problem. Bayern Munich appoint people who used to play for their bloody club. Legends. You know, educated people, but legends. We employ anybody. Bank managers, Newcastle fans, people who don't even like the sport. Doesn't matter. As long as you know business. As about knowing Manchester United, that would be nice, wouldn't it? The press conference tomorrow will be very interesting. I think a lot of people are interested in that. I'm just going to put a tweet out here because I think it's important. I just said, basically, well, I'll tell you what the tweet is because I don't want people to have to go and read it. If Ollie said, oh, Joel loves the club, he's made a huge error. Joel loves money, not United, and he stabbed us all in the back, including Ollie. Ollie will lose the fans forever if he doesn't get this right. And I think that's not a threat. It's not a threat. It's true. I know a lot of people support Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and I know why they do. But if he gets this wrong, he will. The thing is, we're living in a period of time now where people will never forget. We'll never forget. It's not. Look, none of us lived through some of the tragedies that have happened in football, but people, and that's loss of life. It's very, very different. But if you think about major events, you don't forget. It's almost like a stamp on your brain. Like when COVID first hit, everyone remembers that first week, don't they? When we went into this lockdown, you know, a lot of people remember Christmas because it's like it's a big event, isn't it? We're not going to forget these days. We'll move on from them, but we're not going to forget. And it's what you do in these few days that really will dictate how you're associated with this football club and football in the future. If that's true, what Solskjaer said, and I'd be very worried if I was Solskjaer now, because he will be aware of this. Not necessarily what we're saying here now, but he'll be aware that that's out there. I'd be very worried if I was Solskjaer, because his management, and I know we're not really talking about football at the moment, but Solskjaer's management of Manchester United is like that. If we're talking about on the pitch, it's like that. I call it the scales of Ollie, because even though we're doing well, he's probably got more support than he did in October when the story about United talking to Poch. And look, I don't want to go back into the past, but they spoke to Poch. They spoke to Poch, Ollie. I mean, there's another reason. That came from a guy, Samuel Lookhurst, at the Manchester Evening News, who's chief Manchester United correspondent and also speaks to the club and has good connections with the club. He wrote the article that United had spoke to Pochettino. They spoke to Pochettino, Ollie. They spoke to him. You know they spoke to him. And you're saying Joel loves the club. You're backing the people that were looking to sack you, basically. But bigger than that, that's irrelevant. We are now into an argument now where it's not about what you're doing on the pitch. It's not about, you know, whether they were going to sack you. This is about betrayal of what Manchester United Football Club is. The club that where you really, when I think about Solskjaer, I don't think about him as a manager. I think about him in 99. I think about the legend that he is as a player. And they wanted to turn their back on that. So Solskjaer needs to be very, very careful, because the balance in relation to his management is like that. You know, some people don't like his football. They don't want him here. They think we'd be better off without him. Some people love him. They want him to do well. They, you know, we're doing well in the league. They want him to stay, etc. So it's a balance. If he messes this up, he can go, most people will want him gone. If he gets it right, most people are wanting to stay despite the football. What's going on? What I'm trying to say is, with Solskjaer, what's going on the pitch is suddenly irrelevant. It's how you react to this. If you turn your back on us and side with the Glazers, you're gone. If you stick with us, and you know, you've got to be clever how you do that. I don't think anybody's saying that I think we'd love it if he came out and said, these owners are a load of crap, I don't want them here, but he'll be sacked. So I get that. But don't side with them. And if they're telling you to side with them, then maybe you're not in the right place anyway. The Glazers are just custodians of the club. The fans are the owners of this great club, says Joseph. And good work, Mark. You're the only thing about United that I like at the moment. They lied to Ollie also. And if he's defended them, it makes me wonder. Gerard. Do you think Ollie would say that? I think he's smarter than that, says Daniel Kirk. Look, we must be very careful. We must be very careful. I don't know whether he said that. I'm only repeating what's been said on a Twitter account that had the pictures of these fans there. And obviously knows these fans who are there, I would say. So, and those fans that are there, I don't think they would be anti-Ollie. Because I just don't. I'm being stereotypical, but I don't think they would be anti-Ollie. I think they'd be pro-Ollie and pro the players. So I don't think they would want to put a quote out like that. If Joel Glazer came out, I think they'd like to put a quote out saying that Joel Glazer said something negative towards this campaign. But I don't think they'd want to do it about Ollie. So there might be some truth in it. Mark, in the last couple of months, we've had a director of football in the Ed Woodward sack. I think Ollie is working undercover to get rid of the Glazers too. I'm sure he still hates them, says Varun. Mark, players are just to blame in all this. It's their ridiculous wage demands that are causing clubs to be greedy, says Ben Anderson. Well, you know, I'm not saying you're not right. You're not wrong, Ben. But ultimately, I think we've got far bigger issues here. We're trying to get our club back. Those things, there are massive problems in football. I think the biggest problems in football is greed. It's greed. I mean, you've got a Super League that we've stopped, but you've got a super agent in Mino Raiola who's trying to, you know, get £20 million for himself every time he sells a player. How can that ever be right? These owners are not sorry. They're just trying to buy more time until they come up with their next plan, says Sam. I agree. Mark, doing the impression of Ollie saying Joel loves the club. Did I do an impression? I can't help myself, Muzza. These are serious times and I'm still doing an Ollie impression. The owners in Manchester have started a campaign with manipulation and claiming that we want to put an end to the national leagues. I do not want to say which club, says Perez. Get them out now, says Tommy. And Mark, Ollie must take a stand. This is a big dilemma. He's out of this. He's out of this. He's not done right. Do we want that, says Bridget. Mark, Busby Papes tweeted, need to read it, says Darren. What does that mean, Darren? I don't even know what you're talking about, Busby Babes tweeted. Check Twitter, Mark Frederick, what was allegedly said by Ollie. Okay, Simon, I will take a look at that. It's always important that you have both sides. Of course it is. Oh, Busby Babes are saying this. Just to clarify and stop the bullshit, Ollie did not say Joel loves the club and how much the Glazers have done. I won't share out of respect for who he is, but this was not said. Sick of these so-called United fans and Ollie outers, says Busby Babes. Well, look, this is important. Look, that's why I always said if he said it, because it's a very, very dangerous thing to be associated with that. And if he's not said it, it's not fair, is it? So... And ultimately, again, let's just take a step back, because emotions are running high here. Let's just be very, very careful here. Because is Ollie in any way the person that we're looking at here? No, he's not. So arguing about what he might have said and what he did say and what he didn't say, realistically, we're just doing... And I'll just make sure. So yeah, I've just put another tweet out as well. It's very important. It's very important. This is what I mean. We don't necessarily know what's been said. And also, the most important thing here is that the message that's gone out is a good one in relation to what these fans have done. They're not so-called Manchester United fans. They're not trespassers in my eyes. It's our club. It's our training ground. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, whatever he said, could have been flustered. May not have said it. May not have meant it. He's not the enemy. The players are not the enemy. Whatever you think about Solskjaer, if we change the club, a decision about Solskjaer and players and centre-backs and midfielders, which are so irrelevant at the moment in time, you're like, what you think about how quick our centre-backs are, what you think about McFred, what you think about Pogba's future, it's irrelevant in relation to what this is. We must enjoy our football at the weekend. We must enjoy our club. I want us to win the Europa League. I do. But... They're a side issue. You know, it's almost like your dessert. Enjoy your dessert. The main meal is reform at our football club. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not involved in that. I never expected him to be involved in that. He's in a difficult position. He's the manager of the club. He must manage the club. And if he wants to keep doing that, he must keep his mouth shut. Because there's not a lot he can do to help us unless he's going to walk. And do you want him to walk? I don't necessarily do. What can Ole Gunnar Solskjaer say? If he comes out and says the Glazers are a bunch of knobheads, he's sacked. If he comes out and says the Glazers are good people, he's going to lose the fans. He therefore says nothing. I think that's his best way forward. And for us, our focus should be on the owners of the football club and reform and change. That's where it should be. I don't want anybody getting angry with anybody other than Ed Woodward and the owners. And I think Liverpool need to do the same with theirs, and Arsenal need to do the same as theirs. The minute we start distracting ourselves with what Ollie might have said, or what Ali did say, or what he didn't say, or Paul Pogba didn't say anything for the last few days, the minute we start, or Mason Greenwood didn't say anything, or David De Gea, well, it was, you know, whatever. I'm not picking on those players at all. I'm just using examples. They're not the focus. They're not. And we distract ourselves and we divide ourselves by doing that, because what will happen now is... people will be like, Ollie didn't say it. Stop talking about Ollie. Ollie did say it. And then we'll start dividing again. We've got to try and keep together for as long as possible on this, because little cracks turn into big cracks and then it's over. And we've got to try and stick together on it, definitely. Can you wish Rehan a happy birthday during this crazy week and call him a prat? We love your show and have been the entertainment during the entire Procdown, says Sue. Happy birthday to Rehan. Can't blame the players for wanting the best for their careers. Money's a problem in the game, but if someone offers you 100 grand a week, you'll take it, says the Red Devil. Look, people might not like me for saying this, but it's got nothing to do with it, really. It's not the problem here is not the players. The players didn't create the Super League. So people, the money wasn't about they can't afford the players' wages. The money was about they want to get rich. The Super League teams wanted to get rich for themselves. That's what it's all about. I've always said this for most of my life, certainly since the Premier League's been around. I remember doing a project on it in English in GCSEs decades ago. Conversation about money in football, and I just said, look, I mean, I did want to be a footballer at the time, so you know, I might have been biased, but I still stand by it now, and I'm never going to be a footballer. If there's £1 million in football, 95% of it should go to the players, because they're the people we want to watch, and the managers who coach them. Owners should not be getting money out of football. The money, if there's loads of money in football, it should go to the players. That's where it should go. Not agents, not owners. So you might say the wages of footballers are immoral. And look, if a footballer's on £500,000 a week and a heart surgeon's not on even half that a year, it's immoral. But it's not footballers' fault that the reason money's in football is because we all love football. We don't all want to sit and watch somebody cut someone's heart open and save their life. We don't. It's just the way it is. And the money should go to the players, whether it's immoral or not. The problem is, you get people like the Glazers who come in, they see all the money in football. They're like, yeah, we don't want to pay you because we want to pay ourselves. And that's the bigger problem. Joseph says, stop speculating about what Ollie has said. The only thing that is certain is how the Glazers tried to destroy our club. And I think Joseph is absolutely spot on with that one. Right, let's just have a quick look. Please smash a like on the video, by the way. Bottom right-hand corner to do that. Make sure you subscribe. Lots going on. Reportedly, one of the protesters at Carrington earlier said has quashed rumours that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said to the group, Joel loves the club. Well, there you go. Being owned by the Glazers has cost Manchester United £1.5 billion so far. The Glazers borrowed £520 million to buy United in 2005, and the club have been paying the interest and other charges ever since. £1.5 billion. This is why when people say, let's get owned by a Saudi, let's get owned by a prince, let's get owned by another billionaire. We don't need to be owned by those people, because Manchester United, for a fact, makes loads of money because of people like you, because of the size of the club, because of the success and history of the club. We've actually been hindering ourselves for years under the Glazers. We don't need a billionaire owner. We've got a billionaire business. It's just been hindered by these businessmen who've sucked the life out of it. But look, we'll end it there. There's lots going on. There's lots to get involved in. I mean, I was planning on doing the Leeds preview this afternoon, because we always do it on a Thursday afternoon, but I don't think we're probably not at that stage yet, are we? I don't think we are. I don't think we're at that stage yet. Are we driven by you? But I don't think that we are. But look, thanks everyone for watching. We'll be back again at just about 2 o'clock. The Glazers are the enemy. Let's use all our energy on removing them. Let's not waste it on the manager or players. Focus on the root issue, says Nemo. And the players don't have a role to play. If George Best was being paid £500,000 a week, then he would have had to play better competition then, says John. And Schalke 04 was the 14th highest grossing team in 2017, and one bad year plus COVID, they might be bankrupt, says Justin 5. Look, everyone, thanks everyone for watching. Lots going on. We'll obviously keep you up to date with everything that's going on, things you can get involved in. All I would say about that is that I think what we've done today is going to be more impactful than what people are planning on doing on Saturday, because it's not planned on Saturday. And planned, organised things are what we need to do, and we need to stick together. And obviously, petitions, anything, we will keep you up to date with. But the big thing is big impact events, well organised, and sticking together. Thanks everyone for watching. Let's keep it going. I'll speak to you in a bit.